From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and you're listening to it all on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports every Saturday from 10 to 12. That's where we do our show, covering mostly high school sports, a little bit about Fresno State. If you haven't heard, there's a Fresno State football game today at 3:30, season opener. A lot of people are looking forward to that. I got some names I'm going to throw up to you guys that are going to be active and going to be getting a lot of playing time. We'd love to cover our local student athletes here in the central section, and I am very blessed to be kind of a mouthpiece for that. And if you're unfamiliar with the show, if this is your first time listening, thank you guys for joining. If you are a seasoned veteran and listening to the show, again, thanks for your support over all these years. This is year five, and this is an exciting show. Had two shows before this, right? Setting everything up because high school football, Friday Night Lights, started last night. Actually started on Thursday. There were, what, 5 games Thursday and a full 61-game slate last night. I'm going to be covering a lot of those games, giving you guys some scores as well. Also want to thank First String Sports. This is the only place I'd like to do my show. It's the perfect venue for it. The ambiance is fantastic. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. When you walk into the store, to my left, we got Madera Letterman's Jacket, Sanger West, Torres. To my right, Kerman, big win last night. Got Hoover. Hoover is actually in the house earlier. Young athlete was here, and Dad was with him, and they were getting their Letterman's Jacket sorted, what they wanted to put on it. Selma, Central, Kalingo, Woodlake, they all share the same color scheme. Clovis High, Parlier. Got some Parlier news for you guys to share. Some good stuff coming from them last night. Clovis North. So thanks to First String Sports for being a great sponsor of our student athletes. Also, we got a new sponsor. Got to give a shout out to these guys. Thanks to Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply. They're specifically sponsoring my show. We broadcasted the Inglewood and Central game last night. They helped sponsor the pregame and the postgame as well. So welcome them. Thank you guys for supporting student athletes here in the Central section. They are located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. So our broadcast team broadcasted our first game last night. Phil Benotti, who has a show behind the bench every day, 3 to 5, sometimes 3 to 6. He and I broadcasted Inglewood at Central. Pretty big time matchup. A lot of talk about Central. How good are they this year compared to some of the top teams in the state? Because we know that they're the top team in the Central section. Everybody knows that. So a lot of eyes on them. What they did last year in winning the Central section, beating both Clovis North and Clovis East to win their fourth title in school history. So last night was our first game that we broadcast. I'm going to get to some of the nitty-gritty of that game and how that game played out. But I want to mention something before we get into the game and what the score was. So after the game, Phil Benotti and I walked down. We had the equipment. Coach Kyle Biggs was there. He was kind enough to talk to us about the game. So it's always great to talk to Coach Biggs. And, yes, they won the game. 41-12, and one of the maintenance admin guys came up and said, "Hey, Coach Biggs, I just want to tell you thank you because your guys left an extremely clean locker room." And Coach Kyle Biggs is like, "Yeah, thank you, appreciate it. Good thing because they would have ran they would have ran on Monday if they wouldn't have left it clean." So I actually went in there. I had to use the facility. So I went in there, and sure enough, the locker room was extremely clean. All the uniforms were piled up. in nice, neat piles. There was no trash on the floor. So hats off to the Central football team. The reason why I'm mentioning that, because that stuff means a lot to me. I love hearing that, and I'm sure you guys love hearing that too. Sometimes we hear these horror stories of bad sportsmanship or, talking a lot of trash or leaving trash. So that was just, that kind of warmed my heart. So not only did they whoop Inglewood on the field, but they did their school proud. They did their school proud. So hats off to Central. All right, so let's get into the game a little bit. So Inglewood came in ranked 39th by Cal High Sports, so in the top 40. They were coming off a loss in week zero, so they had played a game against Los Alamitos the week before, lost 20-12. And, we watched warm-ups, and, yeah, it looked like they had some dudes, some guys that could play. Ran the ball 23 times the week before, passed the ball 23 times as well, so pretty even. But I tell you what, that's Central East. I got to start saying that. My gosh. Central East defense came to play. They did not allow a completed pass in the first half. Second half, a little wobbly at times. But then, the athletes took over. And, Central East is, they're loaded on the offensive side. Brandon Smith had a couple touchdown runs. One was on fourth and two from that Wildcat position that's very tough to spot. It's a formation that they've been running for a lot of years under Coach Biggs, and it worked to perfection. He had an incredible juke, man. He just sent a kid flying. He kind of stopped, and the kid tried to make a leg tackle. He pushed him away, and then the touchdown. Jelani Dipple, quarterback, junior, he went 15 of 20 for 280, three touchdowns, had a touchdown run on fourth and eight. It was a quarterback draw. Bayon Harris was actually our 14-30 player of the game. He was a dude. He's only a junior, 6'3". But he made an impact on defense as well as offense. Had a receiving touchdown, 137 yards. Actually, his touchdown catch was pretty impressive. Inglewood defender did a good job of knocking it out of the way. And Bayon, using his 6'3" height, just grabbed the ball out of the air. Good concentration, but he actually had a strip sack. Yep, Bayon Harris, wide receiver, he'd been putting on the edge on a nickel package. He's an athlete. You ran him down, stripped or fumble, got the fumble. Actually, it was a teammate that picked it up, scored on the next play. So he was a dude last night. EJ Morgan had a touchdown catch as well. So Central comes away with a very, very nice victory in week one, and it doesn't get any easier next week. They travel to Grant. Grant is ranked 13th in the state. Grant is one of the top teams in NorCal. You think De La Salle, Folsom, right? But, I mean, Grant is tough. They got some really good players as well. And Coach Biggs is saying, well, we'll see next week. We'll see how good this team really, really is. That is a huge test. So congrats on Central East. The Bengals with the start of a new era. And I tell you what, those helmets looked really cool. Really, really cool. If you guys haven't seen pictures of them, find them on social media. Yeah, they looked like those Bengals stripes of the NFL team. Looked really, really sweet. But, they took care of business on the football field. Next week, we're going to be broadcasting Salinas at Clovis. Pat Hill is going to be joining us for that broadcast. That game is turned into a rivalry game. They're going to be doing some cool stuff. Pat Hill, I think he's going to speak at the luncheon. Both teams are going to eat lunch together, and then Coach Hill is going to join us for the broadcast. So stay tuned for that, Salinas at Clovis. All right, so what else is going on the show today? After we take a break here in a couple minutes, I'm going to give a rundown of all the scores from last night. And, I text coaches and I find stuff on social media. So I got a general idea of a lot of the games that were played last night. Any upsets? There's kind of three different scores that surprised me a bit. So, again, after the break, I'm going to be running down the scoreboard from last night. After that, I got Jared Campbell. He's the head coach at Lemoore High School. They beat Menachie last night in a tight one, 14-7. Coach Campbell is in his second year. He's an alum of the school. He's a passionate dude, and he is all in on coaching these guys and mentoring them. I know you guys are really going to enjoy that conversation. At the top of hour number two, Aaron Wilkins, the head coach at Clovis High, will join us. Clovis defeated CBC last night on the road, 48-0, a game that I think didn't kick off to about 8-10. A lot of talk about the Cougars this year. This is a team that they've been building towards for a long, long time. And most everybody knows they added a player about a week and a half before the season started, Israel Briggs, a four-star dude. We talked about him a little bit yesterday. He contributed in last night's win, so I'll ask him about that too. It's kind of a hot topic. As well as the weather. I mentioned a lot of games were kicked off at a later time. Ours was delayed only 15 minutes. So it's going to be another scorcher today. What do we got? A high of 107. So that's, everybody's prepared for that. I did mention Fresno State football at 3:30. I got to mention some guys that are starting in that game, local guys. Braden Walton, what a story from Buchanan, starting at left tackle, 6'7", 325 pounds. Coach Enns loves this kid. He enrolled early in January, and Coach Enns flat out said it. He's like, yeah, if he didn't enroll, he probably wouldn't be starting. He enrolled, he took care of business, took care of his body, got ahead of the other competition. So he's starting as a true freshman at left tackle. We all know about Bryson Donaldson at running back from CBC. He's going to be a focal point of the offense. And Cameron Braca, captain, he was named captain from Buchanan, plays safety. Had an incredible year last year until he got hurt. So very proud of that kid for grinding it out, sticking it out. Jaden Davis, defensive back for Bullard, he is starting as well. A couple guys that are listed on the 2-deep, back up on the depth chart. Ryan Kobzeff, the kicker from Clovis North, he's listed as number two. He's a freshman. Logan Stute, linebacker from Buchanan. Buchanan definitely going to be represented on the field today. And Keontre Harris from Lemoore. I'm going to ask Coach Campbell about him. He's going to be seeing the field, too, at cornerback. And Titus Kajabi from Clovis West at linebacker as well. So, man, what a great, great weekend this is going to be for football in the Central Valley. High school football last night, Fresno State football today. We'll take a break here. I'm going to come back and list the games that were played last night and a little bit of information about some of them, too. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Live here at First String Sports, and Phil Bonatti and I were joking, went on a show yesterday and then on the broadcast as well. Like, we set an over under of how many times we were going to screw up, you know, just calling Central East just Central, or maybe even the Grizzlies. So we set it at 3.5, and I think we went over by the midway through the first quarter. So right, I'm going to have to get used to it. I think I said Central instead of Central East like twice in my opener here on the show. So Central East Bengals, get used to it. I might have to have a jar here, and every time we screw up here, you got to pitch a quarter. We'll probably have like $17 by the end of the year. But, yeah, it was fun to broadcast the game last night between Englewood and Central East. And this Saturday, Salinas at Clovis High. So here's one of my favorite parts of doing this show is just reading all the scores from the Central section last night. So, you know, you might have went to a game if you're listening, and, yeah, obviously you know a score and know a score or two, and, you know, maybe somebody, was at a game at Carruthers or Riverdale or a Visalia school, and you're like, man, I didn't hear about other scores around the Central section. Well, I'm here to help. And I go to the HighSchoolRatings.com. Max Preps is okay, but you got to really scroll to catch all the scores. So High School Ratings, which is the new website, actually it's the old website, but new address for the Central Section football playoffs, how they're going to rank them. So they do a good job. Again, it costs money. I paid the $40. I get 20 views a day. But it's basically all on one page. The font is really small, so you know, I got my glasses on, so I'll be able to read these the best I can. So there were some games on Thursday. Delano beat Miramonte 39-24. McLean, a huge win over Avenue, 65-0. The game was, I think, 55-0 at halftime, running clock on that one. McLean's got some really good players this year. Coming off of that playoff loss last year to Emmanuel, I know these guys are going to be focused this year as well. Mission Oak over Sanger West, 28-7. Reedley over Fresno High, 47-6. Ridgeview beat South of Bakersfield, 20-0. So here are the scores from last night. There were 61 games. I believe all 61 are listed here. I'm going to comment on a few that I know how the game went about. But these are listed. It's kind of funny. These are listed in alphabetical order by the team that won. So these aren't divided into divisions or even leagues. So it's just a view of all the teams in the Central Section. And then there's intersectional games at the bottom. So the non-league games, they're calling them here on the website. I'll list first and then get into the other ones. Arvin defeated Lindsay 31-13. Bakersfield over Buchanan 28-13. A lot of talk about that game. Buchanan with a really good defense. Bakersfield with a running game. Game was 7-6 at one point. Bakersfield was leading, but I think a late touchdown put that game away. So Buchanan loses at Bakersfield in week one. Cabrillo over Selma, 31-14. Chowchilla defeated Fireball, 17-14. A game that we're going to be talking with Coach Aaron Wilkins about. Clovis all over Central Valley Christian, 48-0. That game started around 8:10. And it was 0-0 after one quarter. So those 48 points were from quarters 2, 3, and 4. Deacon Rose threw a couple touchdowns. Maddox Merrill had a touchdown. There was a pick 6. Actually, 3 touchdowns from Deacon Rose. So we'll get a more detailed synopsis of the game from Coach Wilkins at the top of the hour. Clovis East over Boulder, 26-7. That game was at La Monica Stadium, a new era for Clovis East. Lost a lot of players from last year. Star running back Lindsey Graves did not play in that one. Jamie Spurgeon takes over at quarterback. He had a couple touchdowns. Had a lot of carries, too, as well. So at one point, he had 12 carries in the game. So that's a lot for a quarterback. So congrats to George Petrasan for getting his first win, returning to a Clovis area high school. Was at Clovis West before taking the job at Clovis East this year. So Bullard with the 7 points. I heard their defense played pretty darn good, but that front seven for Clovis East is still really, really strong. Clovis North defeated San Joaquin Memorial at Veterans Memorial Stadium, 42-14. Congrats to Colby Hunter on his first win as a head coach for Clovis North. Kalinga defeated Carruthers 13-7. Del Oro over Chavez. How about this? 7-0. Edison of Fresno holds on to defeat Templeton at Templeton 28-20. Fowler 19, Hanford West 0. Golden West 35, Aurora Grande 28. Keep an eye on that game. Golden West had a good year last year. They have a strong offense. Aurora Grande, potential Division 1A team, but Golden West took care of them last night. Highland of Bakersfield over East Bakersfield, 43-19. My alma mater, Emmanuel, 56, Taft, 6. Independence of Bakersfield, 41. Keep an eye on those guys. Pioneer Valley, 0. So a shutout for them. And probably one of the best games last night. Kennedy over Hanford, 29-28. Ken Sanchez was on the show last week, says they have a really young football team. Kennedy with that double tight, grind it out type offense. The game went to overtime. Hanford scored first, kicked the extra point. Kennedy scored, went for two, got it, and they got the win. Kerman all over Torres, 48-0. Their quarterback had 5 touchdown throws. Congrats to Kerman. Kingsburg with a nice win on the road at Paso Robles, 24-14. Congrats to Coach Dave Wilson. Got a text from him this morning. I got to give a shout out to my guy, Daniel Rojas, who was a student of mine, played football for me where I teach in Traver. Our kids go to Kingsburg High. Booted a 45-yard field goal in that one just to end the first half. So how awesome is that, man? I feel like a proud parent on that one. So, yeah, good job by him in that one. And Lemoore over Manassas. We're going to hear from Coach Campbell after the break, 14-7. Liberty Madera over Strathmore, 29-7. Madera, huge win at Sunnyside, 49-15. Coach Kenny Palinelli was on the show, the first show of the year, and he said they got a sophomore quarterback who played really well and a freshman running back. So I asked him, well, how'd the freshman do? He said, well, Paul, on the third carry, he had a 98-yard touchdown run. So a freshman for Madera with a huge run in that huge win for Madera. McFarland over Farmersville, 30-26. Mendota over Golden Valley, 25-21. Orosi with a nice win over Madera South, 46-14. Parlier over Orange Cove, 42-40. Nice win for Parlier to open up the season. Why? Because they went 0-10 last year. 0-10. For them to get a win, I'm sure that was a huge lift for that program. So congrats to Parlier for getting their first win of the season. Redwood put up 35 points at Centennial. 35-20 was the final score. Keep an eye on Redwood this year. Rigetti over Santa Maria, 56-0. Roosevelt of Fresno, 40. Corcoran, 13. Look at those Rough Riders. It's a lot of points. Sanger over Dinuba, 36-13. Shafter shuts out Exeter, 41-0. Keep an eye on the Generals. Coach Perucci hit a milestone in last night's win. He's got a Division I player. And he didn't even play last night. Marion Sloan is a running back slash wide receiver going to Boise State. So, yeah, keep an eye on Shafter this year. Tulare Union squeaks by at St. Joseph, 27-24. Talked a lot about Tulare Union and their offense, but, man, they had a tight win there at St. Joseph. Tulare Western, 54, LD, 28. Wasco, 14, Porterville, 7. Woodlake, big win over Sierra Pacific, 41-13. And I got a call, a text from Darren Carr. This morning, Bakersfield Christian came back and defeated Faith Lutheran from Las Vegas. They're on the road, 28-20. So the defending D2 champs start off with a really, really nice win. Played good defense in the second half. Had an interception on the final play of the game in that one. Central East, the game that we covered last night, 41, Inglewood 12. Dos Palos over Los Banos, 43-19. And Clovis West goes on the road to Edison of Huntington Beach and loses 20-13. They were down 20-7 that one. So cut the lead to 7, but wasn't quite enough to beat Edison of Huntington Beach. We know that they beat Central, the Central of old, last year in the state championship game. And one of the best games last year that we covered, Clovis West at home with J.J. Howard as a freshman, defeated Edison of Huntington Beach. So they came back and won that one this year. Garza with a great win over Mesa Verde on the road, 18-12. Skip a few of these games here. Frontier. This one shocked a lot of people. A lot of talk about Frontier. I had them at number 3 overall in the Central section. They got a lot of transfers in. And I heard they didn't mesh real well. Yeah, not judging by that score. 40-7. Yeah. That's going to wake them up a little bit. So they'll obviously drop a lot in some prognosticators' rankings. But that's it, right? That's kind of an eye-opener there. How about one more score here? Garces Memorial lost to Paraclete, 35-28. All right, got through the first week of high school scores. We're going to be breaking those down a little bit more as the show moves on. We're going to take a break here, and Lemoore coach Jared Campbell is going to come on. Hey, tight game last night, so it's always good to talk about the team after a win against Menachie. So Jared Campbell, Lemoore head coach, coming up next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I did my best. Yeah, it's the first time They've done that this year, just reading off the scores, trying to feed you guys information as quick and concise as possible. Oh, man, that's it's a lot of fun, but I get a little nervous because I got to make sure I try to get in as much as possible and let you guys know how the games went last night. Well, I'm excited about our next conversation. Lamore coach Jared Campbell, he's on the line right now. This is second year at Lamore. He's an alum of the school. His Tigers, man, had a tough one last night. Can't wait to hear about that game. They defeated Menachie 14-7. Like I mentioned, this is coach's second year. It's his first time on the show. So first of all, coach, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Hey, my guy, I appreciate you for having me. Thank you so much. It's a great honor.
All right. So a lot of coaches have different MOs after a game or the next morning. You know, sometimes there's a light lift for teams, or you're already getting into watching the game film from last night, or having meetings. So what do you guys do on a Saturday morning after a game? Are you already breaking down film, or what do you got going on right now?
Yeah, I actually just finished with my staff. So we actually start at 8 in the morning, and then we go to about 10:30. We break down our film that we have, corrections, any corrections that we need from last game, and then we spend a little bit of time breaking down the film for our next opponent. We got Washington Union next week. They didn't have a game this past weekend, so we kind of got a little bit of their scrimmage. So broke that down a little bit, and then later tonight we'll get on a Zoom call and kind of get our game plans together. That way we're all on the same page come Sunday, and then we shoot that out to the kids, and then we go to work on Monday.
All right, so let's get into to last night's game. So, you know, we're broadcasting Englewood and Central, and we're checking out scores and refreshing Max Preps and watching Twitter. And, man, I'm like, yeah, that's a tight game that got going over there with Lamore and Menachie. And, you know, I got to be honest, I'm keeping it real. Like, it's always easier when I set up talking to a coach after a win, right? It's always a little bit awkward if they lose the night before. So I was rooting for you guys, right? No offense to Menachie. So just kind of walk us through that game. Was it a grinded-out game? Like, how did the scoring go and all that good stuff?
Yeah, man. I mean, my buddy, so actually people don't know this, but I played college football with their head coach, Aaron Berry. So I kind of know about him a little bit, and he has a really good team over there. I mean, I don't let the film kind of say too much of the story, because I know adrenaline and all that stuff with football comes into play, and they played tough. They did a really good job of bringing pressure, timing our snap count, doing those little things that kind of got us discombobulated a little bit, but it was hard nose. Like I said, our defense had a shutout. We gave up 7 on a kickoff return. So my defense, you know, they shut them out last night. But offensively, just little mistakes and penalties that kind of killed drives. Very young team though, so we got to watch the film, see what we can do, see the mistakes, and how we can get better for next week. But like I said, it was definitely a really good game. I feel like I aged a little bit yesterday, but I'm just happy we came out with a win, because it's hard to come by. And, just thankful we can get to work next week.
So the kickoff return that you guys gave up, was that early in the game? Did it make it 7-7, or was it 14-0 on that point?
Yeah,
what did that look like?
So we finally broke the scoring barrier, went up 7-0, and then literally as soon as we kicked it off after going – so I want to say it was a middle of the third, kind of ending the third quarter, we end up going down and finally scoring. After we score, we kick it off, and they return it right then and there. I look up, and I'm like, you got to be kidding. It took us that long to go score, and they just score right then and there. So kickoff return had to get on the field, and our offense had to go down there and try to score again. So that it was definitely a momentum shift on both ends in a flash. So, but like I said, kids showed a lot of heart and resilience and didn't let that really affect them too much as far as moving on to the next play.
And you mentioned that you do have a young team this year. So give us some specifics of this year's squad. What's the makeup? You know, a few sophomores mixed in with a few seniors. What's your team look like?
Yeah, honestly, it's seniors. Or I got a couple seniors that got to play some big roles. A lot of juniors, and I got a couple sophomores all starting. So we're a good combination of everything. The future is definitely bright at Lamore. We got a lot of young pieces that are coming in, whether they're in my youth program or on my freshman or JV team. But overall, our varsity team this year is very inexperienced. We don't have a lot of guys on there that have played varsity football, so that kind of spoke a little bit of volumes last night. You know, the lights, 7:30. I actually have to do it. It's not somebody else in front of me. Like, I'm the guy now. So that was kind of how they operate. That was how we kind of came into the season knowing. So I knew there's going to be some growing pains. But like I said, they held each other accountable. They made the adjustments that needed to be made. And we ended up coming out victorious last night. And that's all that matters to me.
Absolutely. And I know it's always team first with your squad. So just throw out a few names for us. Who are some names you like to give a shout out to? And I know you mentioned you got a lot of young guys. So who are some guys that you and your staff are leaning on this year?
I'll just shout the same names that I did in my other interview that I had. I had Caleb Griffin. He's my senior left tackle. He's been on the varsity team for 4 years now. I'm going to go play at the next level for certain. And then I got Jaden Wright and Tayshawn Mack on the defensive side of the ball. They're the ones that I'm expecting big roles from them this year. They've been kind of in the hindsight and not really that guy up until their senior year, so they finally get the opportunity to go show the world, you know, what they've been working on the past 3 years and their craft that they're trying to master. I had Jameer Campbell last night. He'll be a junior. He did some really amazing things as well for us, making sure he can get open and win his one-on-ones. That's all I preach to him. You got to, you know, do one-on-ones and get that done. And then Prince Logan had a hell of a game last night as well, 2 picks, a big hit. And so that's just off the top of my head. You know, it's a whole team effort for me, though, and coaches as well. I'm nothing without them. They do a really good job of getting our kids in the right positions and situations to be successful. So I'm kind of just – I like to joke around and say I just kind of get haircuts and try to look good on Friday night. So.
Absolutely, absolutely good stuff. All right, so I want to speak on one player that you've been able to watch and follow and mentor a bit as well. So I mentioned Fresno State and the local kids are going to get some major playing time today when they kick off at 3:30 at Kansas. So you got a guy, Keontre Harris. He's a Lemoore grad. I know that David Asbury, who is one of the greats in Lemoore history, has played a part in his life as well. So how cool is it, man, for you to be able to follow a kid like Keontre and then, you know, watch him ball out today and just kind of speak about him and the type of kid and player he is?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. It's exciting. I'm definitely – I got the big screen up already, watching Kansas State and Iowa State going at it. But it's amazing, man. That's my whole philosophy is – as a coach here, it's more than just football for me. I like seeing kids, you know, do things beyond high school, being able to see him grow into the young man he's becoming and being able to know that, you know, he was in a rough state back in high school and actually wanted to give up football. And that's when I had brought David like a big brother to me. He's been watching me play even when I was younger, kind of just letting him be that mentor for Keontre as well. We kind of did everything we could. Coach JD, shout out to Coach JD, man, coming out every week to come see him and come stop by and really changing the kid's life. And it's exciting to see his hard work paying off as a redshirt freshman, going to be able to go see some minutes potentially and just doing the things that we've kind of engraved in him, which was, you know, go out there, have fun, do your job, and go make the most of your opportunity. So it's going to be very exciting and super proud of him and all my other young bucks that I got out there playing college football and doing good things in the world.
Absolutely good stuff. We're going to get into some of that mentorship and your philosophy as well. But I want you to describe what you want the identity of Lemoore football to be, right? Infusing your personality and your staff as well, but yet, you know, keeping true to what you believe is important not only football, but in life as well. But what do you want Lemoore? What do you want the identity of Lemoore football to be?
Brotherhood, physical, fast. I mean, I think those are the three words that kind of describe what I try to give out to them, a brotherhood, because if you trust in one another, you believe in one another, you believe in the staff, you believe in your teammates, it goes a very, very long way, especially when you hit adversity. And then, you know, like I said, fast. I love kids that can run. I mean, you can do a lot with kids that are able to run and get to spots that they need to get to, be able to disguise looks. Coverages or on the opposite side of the ball, being able to get them the ball and say, hey, go make a play, go be an athlete. Like, this is what you were gifted with, go and do it, go show the world what you're able to do. And those are kind of, you know, my biggest things that I like to involve our program around, our teams around, and they all understand that it's bigger than football, but if we do the things that we're supposed to do in the real world and what and where we're at, then everything else will just take care of itself.
I know you're a defensive-minded coach. Am I correct on that? Because you were coaching defense before you got the head job, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely on the dark side for sure.
What is it about defense, though, that you love so much? Is it just the ability to figure things out and hit somebody or to make a big play? What do you love about the defensive aspect about football?
I just love playing chess, you know, love playing chess over checkers. And I love to be able to stop people and that feeling of them thinking that they can score the football or, you know, thinking that they're going to be able to pick this thing apart or whatever, just kind of seeing there and watching the game play itself out and like, okay, I see what they're trying to do. Now I'm going to go make an adjustment. I love making adjustments. Every single drive, we're making adjustments on the defensive side of the ball, trying to see how we can put our kids in the right situation. But, I mean, that's all I really played my whole life was defense. I got an offense a couple times there, but I wasn't. I live by that motto that defense wins championships. And the times I've won championships, our defense will be flying around. So it's fun. It's fun seeing the kids fly around. I mean, for a lot of people that know me, they know I get pretty juiced up when the defense makes a good play and does what they're supposed to do. And it's just exciting. So, yeah, I love the defensive side of the ball, but I also love offense, too. I get to help them a lot as well with my insight and just them understanding, like, hey, this is the coverages that they're running. I know what beats it. Or I know this is what we can do to attack this because they're in a forefront or they're running in cover two or they're running Tampa, things like that. So it allows me to kind of just be well-rounded, not saying I know everything, but kind of get my insight where things are and how we can, you know, put these kids in the most successful spots.
Talking with Jared Campbell, the head coach at Lemoore. All right, I want to go back a bit. So you mentioned that you knew the Menachi coach. I think this is his – is this his second year as well at Menachi?
I believe it's not his second, it's his third. I think he got one more.
Got it. Okay. All right. So when you got your first win last year as a coach, putting on the purple gear, right, alum of the school, but putting it on for the first time as a head coach and running out there and getting your first win – you know, you're a Lemoore guy through and through, right? Just talk about the emotion. What, you know, how did you celebrate after the game? Did they, you know, dump the Gatorade water on you or anything like that? So what did that really mean to you?
It means a lot, you know, just having them. I mean, shout out to, you know, the school district and my school in particular, my athletic director and principal and all those people that made it possible, you know, trusting a 25-year-old to take over a whole entire program. And I just felt like it meant the world to me. You know, I love being able to put my time and invest my time into something and seeing it pay off. But, I mean, for me, all I can remember after the game was, you know, just thanking my staff and thanking the kids. Because at the end of the day, it's about them. It's not about me. I tell them that all the time. I said, without you guys, I'm nothing. So them just trusting in me and believing in me to you know, follow my lead and what I'm saying and what I'm doing, it means the world to me for sure. But it was definitely exciting getting the first one. The jitters are kind of gone now, and I kind of just go out there and, you know, just coach them and try to do what's best to come out on the right side of the scoreboard.
So Lemoore, obviously a great history of athletics in the town of Lemoore, and in doing some research, I actually came upon Wikipedia and just the history of the town, and it was just fascinating. There's just so much history with it, and I found out this is really cool that Lemoore is just a combination of the founder of the town, who's like Dr. something Lee Moore, so they just combined like his middle name and his last name and Lemoore. But just the history of the, you know, the Tulare Lake and the great athletes that have come through that town, and of course Steve Perry, the lead singer of Journey, was in Lemoore and Hanford as well. Like some of those great athletes from the past, you know, we mentioned David Asbury, how he's still involved down there, and Lo Neal and Tommy Smith, just like the history of it, like just how neat is that to be part of such a, you know, a great community where some great men have come from?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's kind of what I speak to my athletes all the time. I always tell them it's bigger than us. We got kids in the youth that are looking up to us, and we have to lead that tradition that those above us that have already passed have done the exact same thing. So it's an honor. I mean, like I said, David's like my big brother. I mean, we talk every single day. We watch film together. He breaks stuff down for me, sends me a text or call every day. And then
can
I
he still catch a pass, though? Can David still catch a pass? Have you seen him?
The dude's still a giant. I know if it was me, I'm coming straight for them ankles. So, I hosted my second youth camp, annual youth camp, and that just goes to show, you know, I'm just invested in the community and in the sport of football for our program and just our city. You know, I just think everybody there is just so supportive through the goods and the bads. And like I said, we just try to leave everything better than we found it. And right now I'm just trying to build, you know, kids up to be those difference makers in the world and have those type of names like Lorenzo and Tommy and Charlie and all them. So it's definitely an honor, and I don't never shy away from it because I know that we have the potential to get more of those kind of guys out there in this world.
I think I heard you mention you have a JV and a freshman team this year. So are you got enough for a freshman team?
Yeah, we got all three levels. So I got amazing staff. I got 25 total coaches throughout all three staffs. They do a wonderful job, man. I got 50 kids on varsity. I got 46 on JV, and I have 41 on Frost. So I got a lot of kids out there, and I know teams are getting away from, you know, their freshman programs, but I believe in it. I'm sticking to it, and until they tell me I can't have one, we'll always have one, and it's just an honor to be able to change lives of that many young men and try to get them out and understand that, you know, football is a tool for life, and it's just not about football. So, yeah, I got all three programs up and running right now.
Oh, that's great to hear. That is such a luxury, and that's going to definitely pay off in the future for you. We got about 3 minutes here with you, Coach. This has been a great conversation so far. So I want to go back, right? So I mentioned you're an alum of the school. You played there. You've played in some pretty high-level football games as well. But I heard you mention when you talked to our friend Gabe Camarillo last year, obviously Hanford's the big rival, right? The Hanford Lamore game's a huge deal. Is it true you guys were both 9-0 like your junior year, and you guys met?
9-0.
Walk us through that game, man. How did that game go?
It was wild, man. So whenever we play Hanford, we don't ever have a JV game. It's just a varsity game. We play at 7, so we were at home, and it was 9-0. I don't remember what rank we were in the valley, but I'm pretty sure it was a top 5 matchup. And we were at home, and I remember Coach would always have us there, you know, a couple hours before, and it's probably about 4 o'clock or so. And my mom at the time, she was working at the continuation school right across the street from our school, from Lamore. And she goes, Gerald, it's insane. The line to get in the game. I said, it's 4 o'clock. What do you mean? And I mean, the line from our stadium all the way to Bush Street at 4 o'clock. The crowd, I mean, you would have thought we were playing at Alabama. Like, it was insane. The amount our ceramics teacher, he painted a whole milk can in the middle of the field. I had the luxury of guarding Juju all night long. I took on the task to guard Juju for you guys. I know Juju played at Fresno State as well from Hanford. I had the luxury of guarding him. And like I said, it was an amazing game. I actually got the game-filling pick at the end of the game. I was on the newspaper, and it was just amazing, man. Just seeing both cities just coming together for a bunch of young kids and just having that much, you know, that many fans. I mean, probably over 10,000 fans in the stadium. Like, it was so packed. I mean, we had people on the track, had people sitting on the berm. Like, it was insane. So, but it was just an honor, and just trying to have that type of, you know, tradition to keep growing and growing, and understanding that you can really impact anybody and everybody's watching you. So it was amazing. And like you said, everything's always better when you come out with a dub. So we actually did completed the undefeated regular season, went 10-0 that year in the regular season, and that's something I'll never forget. I mean, I got a couple coaches with me right now on my staff that played in that game with me, and we still talk about it till this day. So,
where's the newspaper clip? You still got it? You got it in a little a folder or anything? Is that a picture of you?
Oh yeah, it's on my phone for sure. I still got the picture of I'm holding up the football after I got the pick, and I don't know what I said or what I was doing, but I just know after that next morning, I think one of my friends had sent it to me, and I definitely saved it, and it's there. Memories never, you know, those are never gone, so I always remember that and cherish it, and it was exciting.
Absolutely. And, Coach, we got to end the conversation. We're up against the clock here. Hey, I've been a fan from afar, and I was excited to get to talk to you today, and you're doing a great job there. Keep up all the great work and pouring into these young men. Good luck the rest of the year.
Hey, I appreciate you, brother, for having me on here, and if you guys ever need anything, let me know. And thank you so much for the words, and I'll definitely keep doing what I got to do and trying to, you know, make the whole Valley proud, not just Lemoore. I appreciate you, though.
Absolutely, 100%. Jerry Campbell, the head coach at Lemoore. Thank you for coming on. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to be talking more high school football here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. Gosh, I love that conversation I had with Coach Campbell at Lemoore when an alum comes back to the school, pours back into the student athletes. We didn't even get into his job on campus and just how young he really is, but he's got a lot of good stuff going on over there in Lemoore in three different levels, JV and freshman as well. So that's a program to definitely keep your eyes on in the years to come. If you miss any part of any show, you can go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Go under podcast. You can check out my shows. If you missed, you know, a show from last year, you want to go back and listen to an interview, they're all there. Behind the Bench as well with Phil Benatti, Bulldog Sports Hour with Tony D. They're all right there. We're your local sports leader for a reason. We've got a coach on the line right now that I'm very excited to talk with. Aaron Wilkins, the head coach at Clovis High. His Cougars defeated Central Valley Christian last night 48-0 on the road. They scored all their points in the final three quarters. Always great to catch up with Coach Wilkins. Wasn't able to talk with him last year, but he's a fantastic conversation. We got him on the line right now. Hey, first of all, thanks, Coach. I know your mornings are always super busy, especially after a football game. So thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Always make time for you. You know that. And appreciate what you do for Central Valley Sports. I really do.
Thank you. All right, so let's get into the game last night, the preparation for it. You know, CVC made it to the Division II Central Section Championship game last year. Don Arax is a tough-nosed head coach. You've coached against him before. What was kind of the game plan going into that game, and how did you guys execute on the field last night?
Yeah, so, you know, how we do our scrimmages, you know, you scrimmage right beforehand, and honestly, our scrimmage went rough, Paul, just because we didn't prepare at all for it. We were working on CVC, you know, essentially treating it like a bye week and doing it for 2 weeks, and, you know, so you did, you know, all of a sudden you got the nerves going, right? You're like, oh, my goodness, I don't know. And, you know, part of it, too, it's, you know, we, and everybody knows, and like we'll get the elephant out of the room here real quick, is we got a new transfer in, and we had to revamp the offense fairly quickly because then you get the caliber of player that we had. You know, I'd be silly not to get that young man on the field. And so, you know, all those factors that went into it, on top of that, we practice in the mornings, right? And it's 100 and whatever it is, and the kids are in the heat, and you just don't know because it's week one, and you're just excited to find out what your team's made of and built like. And you know with Coach Arax, like, they always get unexpected and trick plays. And you know how Coach Arax is. He always does a great job preparing his teams to go out there and win, especially when it's a club of school. He's known for that. You know, but, wow, the boys responded really well. You know, it's funny. The first quarter we had the ball on offense, and, you know, we were driving down. And we had a couple little penalties, typical week one stuff, right, where we kind of got derailed on our opening drive, and then, the first quarter was just over before you knew it. And we were in a dogfight there in the first half. And the boys, you know, just, you know, Deegan, you know, being Deegan, kind of did his thing, got locked in and dialed in. And
He helped us score quite a few points in a hurry. And just the defense last night, my goodness, those kids, they're young. Like, I think we have 6-7 sophomores on defense right now, and they just play with their hair on fire. So very happy with the way we responded to all the elements, the adversity. I'm super excited for, the defense in general, because I thought that was the biggest question mark going into this game. You know, everybody's talking about the offense, right? And just wanted to see what our defense was made of, and it's going to be fun to watch for sure.
The game got one of those late starts, didn't it? I was there. I had a buddy there that was at the game. He's texting me up there. He's like, the game hasn't started yet. It's 8 o'clock, so I think we're kicking off in 10 minutes. Did that, like the heat and all that junk that was going on last night, right? Did that affect anything? We're just like anxious, like, come on, let's go. I'm ready to hit somebody. Yeah. Is that kind of how the kids were feeling?
Yeah. So, you know, gosh, it's hard. It's hard in those situations because you don't really know. Don't really want to get them out there and warm them up too much and just wear them down, you know. So I just told the boys, I'm going to treat you guys like pros. You know, you guys go out there, get yourself warmed up, get locked in. And I didn't have to say a word all pregame. And that's, you know, as a coach, that's when you know, right? When you just stand back, cross your arms, let the kids do their thing, that's when you know you have a team that's locked in. We didn't have one guy cramp. We didn't have one guy go down. Like, they're welcome, you know. As you know, Paul, we run a pretty tight ship, and we run a lot. And those boys are in great shape. And, they responded. They responded really well to all the elements. And, you know, again, that's always a question mark. Good morning practice, just because I don't like to cancel practice in the heat. I think it's better to get it done early. And you know how it is. It makes one of those situations where you're thinking to yourself, like, is this going to hinder our performance? But it did not. So I'm proud of the way our boys responded for sure. We got back at 1:30. Man, I'm trying to get the film up, and I got home at 3:30 last night. And so I gave the boys the morning off. They earned it for sure. They earned it. Sleep is more important. Sleep is more important for the kiddos.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, good thing it was only in Visalia, right? It wasn't too far of a drive for you guys to get home. Some of these other schools had long bus rides home. But I do got to mention this, man. So, you know, I try to hit up practices, before the season starts, and I'm a teacher too. So, you know, so it's my final week before I got to go back to school, and I'm texting other coaches and getting the times, and gosh darn it, you practice like 6 a.m. to 8:30. I'm like, oh my gosh, either I'm getting up, you know, early on my final week before I go back to school, but I ended up going to your blue gold scrimmage, so that was good. But man, you're right, you do run a tight ship, and those morning practices, gosh, man, you got those guys dialed in.
Yeah, just we've had, you know, all year long, we've had one guy late, right? I think bigger picture, right, is like, what in life do you gonna have to do as a man? And, you know, a lot of people got to get up early to get to work. And so I think it's kind of delved a little bit of discipline into our program. And kids love it, too, because with the later start of schools now, you know, they have more time to go home and do their homework. I think that's just as important, you know, academically, and making sure you take care of your boys and you're not getting home at 9 o'clock at night, because what are they going to do? You know how kids are. They get home too late, man. They're going to take a shower, get on their phone, go to sleep, and then all of a sudden their academics start suffering. So it's been a good fit for us.
We're going to get into some of your players in just a second. I want to definitely hear about them from your perspective, but I do got to ask you, Coach, about the expectations and how are you and your coaching staff framing this football year? You know, Clovis, it's just the rich tradition of Cougar football. You got a strong team. Yeah, probably as strong as you've had at your time at Clovis so far. One of the strongest Clovis Cougar teams I've seen in a long time as well. But how are you guys framing this season? When are you guys, like, really going to push the team? Have you guys really kind of mapped it out, what your expectations for this team for this season?
Yeah, I mean, all the boys, obviously, you know, you go to the semifinals last year and, you know, you face that Clovis East team last year that was just so dynamic and, you know, you're just heartbroken. I think all our boys have that taste in their mouth. But, you know, we sat in our meeting and just like, guys, we're not going to talk about anything but maximizing everyone's potential in this room. And I think, you know, that keeps you centered, Paul. I think, you know, it's easy right now to look ahead. Right, it's easy right now in this space to, you know, buy into what people are telling you, and you know how kids are. They're getting on their social media, and everybody's saying all these nice things. And, you know, Nick Saban said it best. All that stuff is rat poison. And so right now, honestly, what we're trying to do is maximize our potential and play up to our full potential. Because one thing is, yeah, do we have that team? But I feel like we've had teams in the past that have been close. But I think we're all tired of being close. And with that being said, if we can maximize the potential of this team, we can go very far for sure. You know, I think everybody sees that. But also, you know, when you have accumulation of talent, I always call it the curse of talent. You know, when you have too much of it and guys have expectations of, you know, how am I going to get this and this is mine and this and that, and it becomes more about you and less about the team. All we're preaching right now is be a team guy. You know, be a team guy, do your job, and when the play comes your way, make your play. And our kids are buying into it, and last night you just saw it. You know, you saw kids just getting excited for everyone that was making plays, and our playmakers were out there not worrying about, you know, how many touches they had. They're just more worried about their teammates and taking care of each other. So culturally, I think we're on the right track, and it's easy. It's easy early. As you know, it's consistency that's going to carry us through the season. Just being consistently good and consistently on top of the minor details and not buying into, you know, hey, we've got talent, so, you know, we could just going to show up and teams are going to fold. That's never the case. Everybody wants a shot at us, and we know that. So we're just going to just try to maximize every week, maximize every player, and that will carry us, I think, a long way this year.
We're talking with Aaron Wilkins, the head coach at Clovis High School. All right, so let's dive into a couple of your players, because kind of the makeup of your team. Deegan Rose, and so I remember this vividly, Coach. And again, you're very welcoming to to media for practices. And I remember, you know, one of the first times I had met you, like, hey, Paul, come on, let's talk with the other coaches. You invited me into your room, and you're like, yeah, I think we're gonna go with this freshman quarterback named Deegan Rose. I'm like, oh man, okay, I've heard a little bit about this kid. The evolution from his first game as a freshman with all the college coaches that have been talking to you, all the camps that he's gone to, you know, all the stuff that he has been through. Like, what is something that stands out to you about Deegan, even talking more about the evolution of him as a person, as a player from that freshman year to what we see today?
Yeah, you know, like, he's just a different kid. He's a great human being. He's a great teammate. You know, we had a little series this week called Men on Fire that we do, and we talk to the kids about just being great teammates and how it carries you in life. And so we sat down in the meeting room, and here he's got, you know, himself, Max Merrill, Israel Briggs, just sitting down in this meeting room, and, you know, just we were talking about, like, expectations in life and, like, expectations of, like, what you want to accomplish this season. Deegan said, and I've never forgotten, he said, I don't care if I throw a touchdown this year as long as we win. And I think that just speaks volumes for what that kid wants and, like, what you want in a quarterback, right? And, you know, it's going to carry that kid a long way in life if he has a team-first mentality. And, you know, me and him, like, he's I've been with him for 4 years. I feel like I'm a college coach, right? And I had a chance to see this kid grow from a boy into a man. And I'm really proud of just who he is, you know, and he's a stud, and, you know, we all know that. And, you know, he what I do appreciate about him was last year, you know, he didn't feel like he performed up to his expectations, and he's got a lot of, you know, individual goals, but he's willing to put those aside for his team and just wants to win. If he's got to hand the ball off 100 times, he will do it. It does not matter to him.
Are you calling plays this year?
I am. Yep, I am.
You are.
I am.
All right. So how much can Deegan override something? Like, how much freedom are you giving him on his senior year?
Yeah, so Deegan sets every protection, so he has full control of that, and it's the first year he's ever been in charge of that. Last night he was awesome. He did a great job. And then we have, for the first time ever, and I've given him the freedom, we have a play call with another play call attached to it, and he can look at the defense, and he can change a play if that's what he sees and what he wants. And most of this, Paul, honestly, and it's awesome to have, but it's better for him in the long run, because it's exactly what he's going to have to do, you know, at the next level. He's going to have to learn how to look at defenses and how to see how their alignments are and how we need to change the play call to make sure we're in the right play. He's made a huge jump in that. Last night he came on the sideline and he had an RPO 10. He's like, man, I should have changed that RPO 10. I'll break it out instead of in breaking route because I had an inside leverage backer. And it's just like, yeah, that's exactly what I knew, where I need you to go. Because here's the thing, Paul, like, what era of college football are we in right now? We're in an era, if you're not prepared, you're going to get replaced by a transfer portal kid in a hurry. So mentally, our goal is this year is to get Deegan Rose mentally dialed into, like, the grand scheme of things, right? Just the actual game of football, so he has best chance to get on the field early so he doesn't – I hate to say this – so he doesn't get replaced, right? I mean, it's just the era we're in, right, Paul? And so he doesn't get replaced at the next level. But, yeah, he's got a lot of freedom. Now, with that being said, if he's making the wrong choices, obviously, you know, in that specific game, we'll dial it back. But so far, he's not going to do that. Deegan knows what he's looking at.
I know, and I'm glad you brought that up, right? It's a different game now, and you coached at the college level as well. Before a lot of this stuff took over, the transfer portal, NIL, and collective and all that stuff. So it is a different game, but if anybody's going to be prepared to play quick at the next level, I think Deegan is definitely one of those guys that could do it at Oregon State.
Yeah, for sure. And just his arm count, right, Paul? Like, his arm count is ridiculous. You know, it's ridiculous. So he's got a really good chance of making. We're going to see him play for a while. I think I really do.
So there's a couple other players I definitely want to talk about. You know, another kid that I've watched from his freshman year, Maddox Merrill. I think he had one touchdown. I think he had one called back in that first quarter as well last night. Cyrus Mendez, that kid is an absolute dude. When I saw him up close and personal, and I knew he was, you know, a big guy, but when I saw him at the Blue Gold scrimmage, oh, he looks like a college football player right now. He definitely can fill out a uniform. And Carlos Young, he's a playmaker as well. I saw him take, you know, a couple pick sixes to the house the last few years as well. Just those three guys, and then we're going to talk about Israel in the second as well, but added to Deegan, man, those are some core guys as well you can build around.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I was a tight end coach at Northern Illinois, and I would take Cyrus. I would take Cyrus right now. Like, Cyrus, to me, is the guy that's not talked about in that group, right? You have Deegan, Oregon State. You got Maddox going to Fresno State. You got Izzy, and you got Carlos with all these offers, and you have Cyrus. And to me, when you look on that field, Cyrus looks just like all those guys, right, Paul? He's dynamic. He's tough. He's physical. He runs people over. He has great hands. He's 250 pounds. You know, those two tight ends are super dynamic for us. I'm super proud of that kid on his birthday. He had 83 yards on three catches and two touchdowns on his birthday, and sang him happy birthday afterwards. And, you know, he's a kid. I tell the story as he came in as a freshman. He has a little different home life, a little different background, right? And he had like a 1.8 GPA. And, you know, I just told him, like, Cyrus, you have zero chance to play for me here. Like, there's absolutely no way that you are going to make it if you continue down this path. And like, he took it to heart. And he has a 3.8 GPA. He just got our 7 jersey. And our 7 jersey at Clovis High represents the most complete player. And it's academically, it's socially, and it's on the field as well. And I'm just, you know, he's put a lot of work in, Paul. He's put a lot of work in. He's got a chip on his shoulder because obviously you got a bunch of guys around you. And I think he's like, hey, what about me? I can do this too. So Cyrus is going to be a fantastic player for us this year.
And I do have to ask you, Coach, you know, Israel Briggs, a lot of talk and chatter about him, and we know the skill set that he brings. A 4-star kid, doesn't come around very often. I saw him score a touchdown. I saw last night on the news. I want to ask you first, and it'll be straight up with people. What do you want people to know about his situation and about him coming to Clovis? Like, what do you want people to know about the situation on record?
Obviously, you know, golly, there's just so much noise. But like, when you get to like know, you know, I would challenge everybody to get to know the kid and the story first before you make judgments, right? And you know, it's just, you know, I don't want to disclose everything in terms of his family life, but you can read about it, right? And when you read about something like that, you know, Izzy, as we've relationship, has kind of communicated kind of some of the stuff he's gone through. And, like, man, you know, like, I'm human too, right? And, like, you got a soft spot in your heart for kids like that, and you just want to help, right? And it really, honestly, this whole thing for him is about helping prepare him for the next level so he can make it, because it's the same thing. Like, if Izzy is not going to be prepared at the University of Miami, he is going to be replaced. And that's the truth of it, right? Those guys have zero tolerance for waiting for kids to figure it out. And one thing that he has been absolutely fantastic as a leader. He's been fantastic as a human. We're moving him all over the place, and he blocked his freaking tail off last night. And it was funny. Like, Cyrus is scoring his two touchdowns at tight end, and he's got all these yards. The first guy down to go celebrate with him was Israel Briggs. And I think that speaks volumes for how he played. He plays with joy. You know, he just plays with a lot of joy. So don't judge the book by the cover. And, you know, me and him sat down, just, you got to filter out the noise, man. This for you is about getting yourself ready. I mean, he's leaving December as well, just like Deegan is getting yourself prepared and ready to go at the University of Miami. And, you know, Paul, you know, 4 stars, like, I've been in the college game, and there have been some 4 stars that it's like, I would not recruit that kid. but, like, he is a 4-star. Does that make sense? Like, you know when you see him. Does that make sense, Paul? You know when you see guys that have the
ground Sunday. He's a legit, 6'5", 210? Is that where he's sitting at?
100%. He has the ability to play on Sundays. No question. Our two tight ends at Northern, you know, I mean, those guys both shared about 800 yards receiving in a year. You know, and Daniel Crawford was one of those kids, and he ended up making it. He is by far more skilled than him. You know, he's going to put weight on, you know, at the next level. But, you know, like, it's the perfect offense for this kid. You know, we're a tight end heavy offense, and we do a lot of wacky things with our tight ends to get them open. And we handed them a jet sweep for a touchdown. You know, he's just dynamic. Like, like I said, I've seen 4 stars before that, you know, end up transferring 3 times down to Division II. Does that make sense, Paul? He's not that type of kid. Like, he belongs at that big time level, and we're doing everything we can to get him prepared for that, both in practice, on the field, off the field. We're going to do everything we can to support him, so he'll be ready to go. I'm excited for his future.
I appreciate you saying that about him and clearing a few things up. I really do. So we're going to be able to watch this team, at least me, and we're able to broadcast next week's game when Salinas comes to town. Phil Benatti and I and Pat Hill's going to be there, so it's going to be a big deal. Really excited about it. So talk about that game, the traditions that's been started last year when you guys traveled to there, what that looked like, and what do you guys have planned for next week?
Hey, here's a real story on how the Rodeo Bowl got started. This is a fantastic story. So me, Scott Sharden, Tran Sanders, our freshman coach, and John Baxter are just sitting around BS, and we're having a great time. And, you know, we're talking about the Salinas Rodeo, and Coach Baxter is super into the rodeo, right? And he's like, no, the Salinas Rodeo, Aaron. And I'm like, what is the difference in a rodeo and a rodeo? I have no idea. And we're talking about how Clovis and Salinas have the two largest rodeos in California. And, you know, we all talk a game, right? Well, wouldn't it be cool if we did something called the Rodeo Bowl and then you would win a belt buckle? And Coach Baxter, I kid you not, Paul, Coach Baxter within 15 minutes made a couple phone calls and it was on. Like, that's how he operates, right? He said, no problem. I know a guy that used to be on here at Montana Silversmiths. He can make us belt buckles. By the time we got this thing going, Coach Baxter had us made the largest belt buckle in the world we have here at Clovis High. And that is a feat in itself. It's got to weigh 100 pounds. Like, I got my workout in last year just holding the thing. And each individual kid wins his own belt buckle. It is one of the coolest things that it wouldn't have happened if Scott Sharton didn't start out with his ideas and John Baxter just having the connections that he has to make this thing happen. And now it's blowing up into, we're going to have a luncheon at our rodeo grounds. Coach Hill's going to be here. Coach Baxter is going to give the speech to the boys if he has time to. And it's just an old – it feels like Texas football. Does that make sense, Paul? And we need more of that in high school football in California, is that Texas football feel where you bring two communities together, you kind of rally around this trophy and this new tradition and this new bowl game, and then you go compete your tails off, best team wins, and then you reward the kids that won and how they have a something to remember for the rest of their lives. Like, my daughter is wearing her belt buckle, and I have mine, and I love it. Like, now I got my cowboy boots, my jeans, and my belt buckle. It is absolutely fantastic.
And I've heard a lot about the stadium that Salinas plays their home games on. Yeah. And then obviously the rich history of La Monica Stadium as well, and Tim Simons Field. So, right, I think you're absolutely nailed it. Just two historic stadiums. You guys are going to be playing this game for a while, right?
No, yeah, I think it's a 20-year contract right now. We should never stop it. It's what's best for kids, right? It's awesome. And Salinas is very competitive as well, and it is a perfect fit. And hats off to the Clovis administration to getting behind this. Jesse Hardwick, Matt Lucas, and Balji Gilbert, the guy behind this with Dr. Scott Dilley. And then Salinas has been excellent. Next year it's going to be awesome. So we're going to take the boys up into that area, and they have a booster that's a big time farmer. Like, I mean, big time. Billion dollar guy, and they're going to walk us through the operations and just to take the boys through, like, hey, this is how, like, life is going to be after football when you're in the business world, and just seeing how people operate. And they take care of us, we're going to take care of them. It's just going to be a great fit.
We got you on for another few minutes, Coach. And you know where I'm going with this question. I can't leave a conversation without you without hearing a Josh Allen story. So I know you have history with the dude, number 17. We all root for him. We know his story through and through. Those darn Kansas City Chiefs, right? I'm kind of sick of these guys. I think most of us are. Like what? I don't know. How do you frame it, right? Just like what Josh has probably done everything in his power, the MVP last year as well, beat these guys. But, like, in your opinion, like, what has to come together for the Bills to get on top, get to the Super Bowl, and win the darn thing?
Yeah, you know, hey. Last year, 2 years ago, or whenever it was, the 13 seconds, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And this year, you know, the Spags, you know, dialed up a fantastic blitz, and Josh scrambled and threw that ridiculous pass, and, you know, Kincaid unfortunately couldn't come up with it. It's always one play in the NFL, right? It's always you're just one play away. And, hey, it could swing either way. And you just keep chopping wood, Paul, you know, and that's the mindset of the Bills. You know, I had a chance to spend some time with Josh when he was getting married, and, like, it's just you could see the, you know, and what was at his wedding was the Buffalo Bills. Like, that is a super tight-knit culture. You know, those guys love each other, and they have one focus, and they are going to get it done. Like, when you get to be around those guys, and Josh has been very gracious to us, and we've been able to kind of sit and be around the organization a little bit, and that is a organization where I would want my son to play for. Like, it's a brotherhood. It's culture driven. They're family. It's amazing. And honestly, they're going to get it done. Like, I have zero doubt in my mind, whether it's this year. Again, you know how it is. Like, some teams keep trying, and they finally make the breakthrough. And I think they will make the breakthrough for sure.
All right. Well, we're hoping it's sooner than later because, it's just been so fun to watch Josh and his journey to the NFL. And he loves his Valley roots. He loves his Fireball, California as well, and the sweatshirts and stuff. It's awesome to see. All right. You got any
question? Yeah. How many Valley quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl? Do you know?
Have won a Super Bowl? Well, I mean, you got I don't think we have any. Right?
I mean, I don't know, Paul. Text me and let me know. I'd be curious. It'd be awesome to have.
Well, Tom Flores, I guess.
Or more, right?
We count Tom Flores, Sanger.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yep. He's one as coach and all that stuff. So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean.
Yep, so he'd be one of a very few.
I agree.
Great for the Valley. It'd be great for the Valley.
Absolutely, I agree. All right, Coach. Again, thank you for taking the time, man. I had you on for a full half hour. I'm sure it was a treat for everybody to listen to. So, hey, good luck. Sure, we'll be texting this week about your game on Friday. Looking forward to broadcasting your game against Salinas. Hey, have a great rest of your weekend.
Hey, appreciate you, and thank you for what you do for the Valley.
All right, absolutely. That was Aaron Wilkins, head coach at Clovis High School. He's always up for a good story or two. All right, when we come back, we're going to chat a little bit more about the games that are coming up here next week. And we got Gabe Camarillo. We're going to talk with Gabe. He was at a few games as well yesterday. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, so Coach Wilkins put me on the spot a bit about quarterbacks from the Valley that have played in the Super Bowl. So I went to Cal High Sports, and they have the list of the starting quarterbacks that graduated from a California high school in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady leads with 7. John Elway, 5. Jim Plunkett started in 2. He's from California. And there's Trent from Aptos High, obviously Fresno State. He won. Scrolling down a bit. And there's Daryl LaMonica. Okay, 1. He's the first quarterback from California to start in the Super Bowl. When he did in the second Super Bowl in 68 when the Raiders lost to the Green Bay Packers. And I did mention Tom Flores, so I saved myself a little bit. He was the backup quarterback in the Super Bowl, and then obviously he won 2 of them as a coach. So there's a little bit of the answer, right, without taking a deep dive into the starting quarterbacks from California in the Super Bowl. All right, we got Gabe Camarillo on right now. Gabe was at a couple of games last night. I went through the Central East. There, I said it. Central East Bengals and Inglewood game. But we're going to bring Gabe on as much as possible because he runs around crazy, does a great job for KMPH Fox 26, bringing you guys to high school action. So he's around town on Friday nights as well. So, Gabe, first of all, if you were put on the spot on that question, would you have come up with, let's say, Trent or Flores or LaMonica?
You know, honestly, when I was asked that question, I couldn't think of any except Trent. But he's not from the Valley, technically. Right? He's from Aptos.
Yeah, Aptos, yeah.
He's a Fresno State guy, Super Bowl winner. I guess he can count, right? And then David Carr was a good one that I heard Coach Wilkins mention. Yeah.
Yeah, so David Stockdale, high school, and then won. People forget, but he won as a backup quarterback with the Giants. All right, so you were at 2 games last night. Am I correct on that? So Central, East,
correct.
And Inglewood, probably for the first half or so. I saw you down there with the camera. So just kind of what were your expectations going into that game, and did Central East fulfill your expectations, what you saw on the field?
Exceeded. I know Central East in the last few years typically have been a slow starter, and I feel like they play their best football later in the season when track play hits, but it looked like they were firing on all cylinders last night with their offense, doing everything. Like, they could run the ball at will with Brandon Smith. They could throw it through the air with a multitude of receivers, even without Zeb White, who I saw on crutches on the sideline, one of their better receivers, North Arizona commit. I feel like they still have enough playmakers to get the job done. And Jelani Dickel, how about that guy, rolling as a quarterback? I know this time last year he was making his his varsity debut, but I mean, now in his second year with the Bengals, it seems like he is the master at control and knows where he's going with the offense. So if he continues to look sharp, I could see Central East going 10-0. I mean, they have that much talent, and you look at how other teams have looked. I think maybe only Clovis High and maybe even Clovis North have a chance at really shocking Central East.
Yeah, I was impressed with Central East defense. They held Inglewood to 0 passing yards in that first half. I thought the defensive backs and the safeties, they just did a great job of one-on-one coverages. You know, Central doesn't do a lot of things tricky on defense, a lot of three linemen, hand in the ground sets. They won't blitz a whole lot. We did see like 7 on the line a couple times when they were stacking the box. But I thought that defense played really well as well.
Sorry, can you say that again, Paul?
Yeah, I was just saying I was impressed by the defense. I thought the defense for Central East played well. And I don't know, were you able to see that the Bayon Harris sack and fumble and then fumble recovered by the Grizzlies. That was an impressive athletic play by him.
I left after the first touchdown, Paul, because I was racing over to the Rancho to go catch the Skydivers as they came in for the Liberty Strathmore game. But I did hear about that on your Twitter. And if Bayon can do that, I mean, how many two-way guys does this team have between Brandon and Bayon? And there's a lot of talent on that team for sure.
No, I agree. And that was one of the first things that we asked Coach Biggs after the game. And they're like, when the heck did you decide to put Bayon on defense? He's like, well, we put him in a nickel package because he's so athletic. Just put him on the edge and say, go get the quarterback. And so, you know, when you got athletes, you could do that as a coach. Like, go get the quarterback. Line up there. So, yeah, impressive stuff from Central last night. So you mentioned what? Skydivers? What was going on at Liberty Madera?
Bulldog blitzers. It was kind of surprising. I didn't expect to see them there, but they showed up and they landed at midfield for the Liberty Strathmore game. Of course, they had the game ball, and I guess because this week Fresno State's on the road, they can kind of go anywhere they want, the Bulldog Blitz guys. So that was fun. And then how about, speaking of soaring objects, the Hawks were soaring through the night. I felt like they were in control from snap to whistle. It was great to see Liberty look that good, because I feel like the Ranchos, they've been building for this season. I wouldn't sleep on them in Division 5, not at all.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. What, 29-7? Am I right on that score?
Yep. And Strathmore's a good team. They have a senior quarterback who's won a lot of games for them and a lot of returning players, but Liberty out-muscled them at the line of scrimmage, really.
And Coach Nolte always loves that offensive line play. I remember a few years ago, they've had a lot of really good football teams built on that offensive line. So is that kind of what you saw, just running the football, or did you see a few passes mixed in?
It's hard to shoot football with Liberty because you don't know where it's going. They run that offense where they have like three different people running towards the football, and one of them ends up taking it. And, yeah, it was definitely run heavy. I didn't have to struggle with trying to track the ball in the air in that game, because it was all run between Liberty and Strathmore.
All right, so looking at the full Central Section slate last night, are there any games and scores that caught your eye? Like, whoa, I didn't expect that. For me, it was that Frontier game, right? Getting blown out, only scoring 7 points. But for you, maybe it was that game. What popped in your mind last night when seeing these scores?
Kerman beating Torres 48-0. I think Torres, from what I heard, Torres looked like they had the bigger team, but Kerman had a better team. Kerman had a great quarterback play with Adrian Torres throwing 5 touchdown passes. And you think about what this team's been through last year, winning a championship. I don't see why they can't do it again in Division 3. It seems like that is the goal for them, to go back-to-back and have Damon Jenkins another title.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the MO for Kerman all these years is, you know, we have a couple athletes here, a couple there, you know, but in the year they don't have good athletes. Maybe they don't have good line play, or they got good line play and they don't have athletes to score touchdowns. So, yeah, last year just Kerman just figured it out with Coach Jenkins and his staff. They'll be a lot of fun to watch for the rest of the year. All right, so two new coaches in Clovis Unified. Very familiar, though, with Clovis Unified. They're just not parachuting in. George Petrasson gets his first win as coach at Clovis East with a 29-7 win over Bullard. And then Colby Hunter at Clovis North, right, putting up 42 points against San Joaquin Memorial. What can you say about those guys? First of all, congrats to them again, but kind of a new era in Clovis Unified, isn't it?
Yeah, a new era for Clovis North with the new-looking offense, and it scores 42 points in its first rendition, so I like to see that Colby Hunter able to have success at multiple stops that he's been at. It seems like he's the X factor, right? Wherever he goes, the offense is going to start turning out big plays and scoring lots of points, and, you know, you can have an offense like Clovis North last year where it was kind of slower, and the score was 24-0, I think it was, 24-0 North over Memorial. Well, take the same Memorial and North team. Actually, take the same Memorial team, but very different-looking North team, and it's 42-14. So it's impressive to see what Hunter can do there. And then you mentioned Petrasson. That game, I think it was like 7-6 at half, so it was kind of a sloppy first half. Lots of learning, I guess, because he got a new quarterback, a sophomore, junior, James Spurgeon. But what impressed me about that East team was how they held Bullard to 7 points. Bullard has a lot of good players on their offense. Tyler Franklin's a multi-year starting quarterback, and I I don't know how many teams are going to hold Bullard to 7 points. And I need to look and see if it was more Bullard mistakes or Clovis East plays. But that East defense has a D1 corner in O'Shea Wegg, who can take away half the field. And they have Caleb Slocum at linebacker. And there's a lot of talent on that defensive side of the football. I could see East winning any more games than people expect, just based off the strength of the defense and the dual threat ability of Jamie Spurgeon.
No, I agree. I think Clovis East defense is going to be, kind of their X factor this entire year. With the new offensive system, a lot of new guys on the offensive end. I think that defense is going to keep them in a lot of football games. All right, so a lot of talk about a couple of the Bakersfield schools. Both of them lost. Frontier to Oak Ridge got blown out. And Liberty of Bakersfield, I knew it was going to be a tough game against Mountain Vista. They lost, 49-45, I believe. We talked a little bit about Central, Gabe, and their expectations this senior. We got to see them firsthand, their explosive offense, their really pretty good defense. I just had a really good conversation with Coach Aaron Wilkins at Clovis, obviously with Israel Briggs and Deegan Rose and Maddox Merrill. And, man, he was just pumping up Cyrus Mendez. He looks like a dude at tight end / D end. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to discount a couple other schools, but right now, is it pretty much a clear cut? Central number one, Clovis number two. Is that how you see it right now?
Yeah, I see it as that. Clovis, I'm curious to see how that defense looks against the Central East offense. Because, I mean, CBC, I know they have a specific type of offense, and I think Clovis was very well suited to stop that because they have some dudes at linebacker. And I want to see if those dudes at linebacker can stop the Brandon Smith or Jelani Dipple on a scramble or any of these guys that we're talking about for Central East. It seems like that Central East offense versus Clovis defense could decide who wins the track, that specific matchup.
No, I agree. All right.
Clovis is going to score a lot of points. So Clovis is going to score a lot of points with all that they have now. With Israel Briggs now in the fold, there's going to be a lot of touchdowns into the land.
All right, so let's go over a few games that are going to be played next week, and I'll just read them off for people that are interested. Again, right, my show's only on Saturdays, so this is kind of the MO. I talk about next week a little bit. So tell me what stands out between a few of these matchups. We got Buchanan against Kennedy. That's at home. Kennedy with that overtime win against Hanford, one of the best games of the evening last night. So that's almost a must-win for Buchanan, right? You don't want to start 0-2 after losing to Bakersfield. Clovis West, another game on the road against Liberty of Bakersfield. A little bit scared for the Golden Eagles in that one. Clovis and Salinas, a game we're going to have on 1430 ESPN. Central at Grant. That is going to be a high-level football game. Top 15 teams in the state by Cal High Sports. Clovis North and Redwood. Maybe that's a game that stands out. And then Kingsburg, Clovis East. And Sanger is going to be playing Hanford. That's going to be a Thursday game. And Madera against Torres. Any of those games stand out to you, Gabe? You want to speak to any of those as being an intriguing matchup for you?
I could see how Madera does against Torres. They looked really good last night against Sunnyside. I was kind of curious about them because there was a lot of departing talent from last year's team that almost won a section title. But I feel like they have a team that they still can contend again. Like, they think they have a team that can go right back there because there was a lot of learning done under the experienced starters last year. And then the other name, the other team that you mentioned, Kingsbury and Clovis East, I kind of want to see that Cade Holt quarterback. I've heard of him before. I've definitely seen him play before. He's a scrambler, but he can make a throw in the moment when he has to. That game is also going to be at Kingsburg. And so I know last year Kingsburg lost to Clovis East and that crazy talented team. But I think this year is going to be a lot closer, and it's not going to be easy for Clovis East to walk into Kingsburg Football Stadium given how passionate that crowd is.
Yeah, Coach Wilson and I had a little text chat this morning. Cade Holt had a good game thrown to his brother. He's got a younger brother named Cooper who played really well. They got a good 1-2 running back punch? Does Kingsburg, the O-line, play great? And I got to mention again, man, one of my former students booted a 45-yard field goal for Kingsburg last night as well, so I'm super proud of that kid. That game is going to be really intriguing. How about Redwood and Clovis North? Redwood, you know, losing Israel Briggs to Clovis High, but they still got some really good players. A new era has begun there with Coach Allen and Clovis North. I don't know, Gabe. How are we going to gauge that game?
You look at two entirely different teams. Like, North has a lot of guys that have stepped up last night, and we'll probably learn more about them throughout the season. They have a good quarterback. North has a lot of skilled playmakers. Terry Sands is going to be hard to tackle for anyone on the Redwood side. Redwood has a lot of talent too, with Jimmy Burke at running back, Ariola the quarterback. Like, there's a lot of guys that you look at and say, oh, they could play college football, whether it's JUCO, D1, FCS, FBS. Like, there's college talent all over the field in that North Redwood game. So I kind of am upset. I think that game's in Visalia, right?
Or is it? It is. Yeah, it's in Visalia.
All right. Well, I think it should still be a good game. I just wish I can go out there, but I might send myself out.
Come on, Gabe. Travel down 99. Go for it. Pass by Traver School. Give a honk. Go to Visalia.
The more time I spend, the more I drive away from the station, the less time I have to go back to the station and edit my videos so I can put them on TV on time. So.
Very good point. Very good point. All right, Gabe, we got another minute with you really quick. Some keys to the game that you're going to be checking out for Fresno State and Kansas today at 3:30.
Which of the transfers looked the best for Fresno State? Looking at guys like Zeke Abbott, number 84 receiver. E.J. Warner is the big one, obviously, number 13 quarterback. Does he play like his dad? Or are there interceptions that we saw at his previous schools going to come back here to Fresno State? I guess we'll find out. The O-line is a huge factor because there's so much new on the O-line. They got the true freshman at left tackle from Buchanan, Braden Walton, and then they got three starters with a combined 7 starts. So it seems like that's going to be the question mark, right? Can these guys, with not a lot of experience at O-line, stand up against the Big 12 defensive front? And that's going to totally determine whether Fresno State can score 10 points or whether they score 30 points. So it depends on how the O-line performs. I think that's the X factor. And then on defense, I feel like Fresno State is going to play well because there's a lot of continuity from last year. Not a bunch of continuity, but I'd say a lot, because there's guys that they lost in the portal, but then there's Cameron Bracco, Jillian Hamilton, Jaden Davis. I can go down the list. Corey Foreman. Like, there's just some guys that know what the standard is, and I'm interested to see how the coaches treat certain situations. Is Madden the kind of guy that goes for 4th and 6s, or does he punt in those situations? I have a feeling he's going to go for a lot of 4th downs. I get the ML that he's a football dude, and that he's going to try and maximize his team's chances with some extra aggressive moves. But I'll find out today, like everyone else. There's not a lot that we know about this team because it's so new.
I agree. That's kind of the general consensus about everybody. Like, we'll find out at 3:30. So thanks, Gabe. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing what you saw last night and talking about the games that are going to be happening next week. Have a good rest of the week, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, Paul. Thanks.
All right. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo. Thanks to First String Sports, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply as well. Jared Campbell from Lemoore, Aaron Wilkins from Clovis High. I'm off for the rest of the weekend. I'm going to have a really good weekend. I'm excited about it. I'm going to go to a baseball card show tomorrow as well in Anaheim. But a lot of eyes on Fresno State. But you guys have a great rest of your weekend as well. And we will talk to you soon.